Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Zurian Show. As always, I hope that everybody is doing well and that we find you in the best of health, wealth, and happiness. And as always, I want to thank you for allowing us to spend some time with you and to share our thoughts, opinions, and things with you today. Today's show, we're going to talk about a subject that seems to be very touchy for a lot of people, but is also pretty important. Important because it's all part of our lives. It's what we have to deal with every day, and it's also how we see ourselves or how we look at things and come up with the conclusions that we come up with. And I think that a lot of us live a life that just isn't really real. It's based on what other people have made us believe we should believe, instead of us actually looking at it from our own perspective and seeing things more as they are and not as someone has made us believe they are. Again, everybody knows that, you know, the world we live in is pretty much real. Well, that reality is also got quite a bit of fantasy in it. Why? Because most of us live in a very linear world. You know, we believe what we believe because, you know, of where we grew up, what we grew up around, who were the people that influenced us in our lives, who was around us and structured it for us, television. All of these different things are things that actually help to make us believe that certain things are a certain way. Well, ladies and gentlemen, each of us is capable of many things, and each of us is capable of remarkable things, but most of us will never step outside of the box to experience those things or to actually see what we're truly capable of. And most of that is based on fear. And the subject that we're going to talk about today, which is age is nothing but a number, is also an area where a lot of us live in fear, and a lot of us are dealing on a regular basis with misinformation. Again, we're not searching out what we need to search out so that we can actually talk about a particular subject intelligently or know enough about a particular subject so that we can make the right decisions as we go through life and dealing with the things that we deal with, which is pretty wild. You know, and the reason that I think it's pretty wild is because it would be really easy for us to get that information. It would be real easy for us to do the things that we need to do, but for some reason, what that reason is, most of us won't do it. Anyway, age. Short story. Other day, sitting down, walking around, talking, actually walking out of my office to talk with some people and actually just to get some air. As I step outside the office, lady walks up to me. She says to me, she's sniffling. She says, I'm catching a cold. I said, really? Well, how'd you catch a cold? Why are you sick? She tells me, well, I caught a cold because the window's open. So I looked at her and I said, a window being open doesn't make you catch a cold. I said, what makes you catch a cold is a low level of resistance and exposure to germs. And those germs and that low ability or that inability for your body to combat them because your resistance is down, that's what causes you to catch a cold. So she's saying, so you're trying to tell me that the window being open isn't what's making me catch a cold? And I'm like, no. I said, it's because, again, your metabolism can't fight the normal germs that are around you every day. Plus that, you've probably put your hands on some germs or something like that, or you've touched something and you've put your hands near your mouth or your eyes or something like that, and you've allowed those germs a little bit more access to your body. And, again, your immune system is low for whatever reason. It could be not eating correctly. It could be stress. It could be, you know, lack of exercise. It could be a whole bunch of different things. You know, it could be something that you did at home. It could be something that other people around you. It could be that you were around a bunch of people that were, again, sick. So she looks at me, and she goes, oh, you just know it all. And you know, I laughed about it, didn't think about it anymore, and I walked away. I said, no, no, it is what it is. I said, you're more than welcome to go online and look up how we get sick. I said, and you'll find that what I'm saying is pretty valid. But again, you're more than welcome to check what I'm saying. And I walked away. I didn't think anything else of it. Well, I go back into my office. I'm sitting down, and I'm just, you know, chilling, trying to get some work done. And the lady walks in to talk to me, but I was on the phone with somebody else. So she walked out. So a little bit, you know, a few more minutes later, I finished doing what I'm doing. I walk back outside. I'm back out of the office, and the lady looks at me. Sorry about that blog talk. The lady looks at me, and she goes, you know, I don't appreciate you calling me. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I made a comment because I asked her, you know, this lady is clearly in her late 40s or, excuse me, her late 30s or 40s. And I go, you know, when she had made the comment and the way she made the comment and a few other things, I said, what are you, 25? You know, most people, if you give them a statement like that, they take it as a compliment, especially if it's a lady and she's older than 25 and you make a comment that is a younger, it's a plus. Well, that negative attitude thing, which is another thing that probably gets people sick, this young lady, instead of her taking it as a compliment, she takes it as an insult and says that I was calling her ditzy. Now, if that's what she believes, that's what she believes. But I told her, I said, no, I did not call you ditzy. I said, that is a matter of opinion. I said, your opinion is that I called you ditzy, but I didn't call you ditzy. I said, that's a low self-esteem. I said, and there's really nothing that I can do about that. And if you're ditzy, then you're ditzy. Again, there's nothing that I can do about that. But I did not personally call you ditzy. I said, but again, that's a matter of opinion. Your opinion is that I called you ditzy. Did I call you ditzy? No, I didn't. So again, that's a matter of opinion. And you probably need to work on that in your level of self-esteem. So the lady walked away. But the funny thing was is that this isn't the first time that I've spoken with this young lady, and she's taken offense. So it's interesting. You know, I mean, there's 25-year-olds that are geniuses. You know, there's 10-year-olds that are geniuses. You know, there are 50-year-olds that are idiots. There's 70-year-olds that are idiots. You know, there are people that are brilliant in the sense of an analytical type of thinking, but yet totally incompetent when it comes to having a certain level of common sense. But my whole thing is that age has absolutely nothing to do with your level of common sense or your level of having a brain or your level of functioning or any of that stuff. Now, of course, if you have some type of physical ailments due to that age, then of course you're going to have some problems. But anyway, this is just a short story to demonstrate or to bring out the fact that, ladies and gentlemen, age is nothing but a number. If you take care of yourself, if you're doing the things that you need to do to guard your mind and guard your body and make sure that your body's in good shape, then guess what? You're going to have a better quality of life. But the number, as in what your actual age is really irrelevant. It really means absolutely nothing. The only person that it means anything to is you. You know, I was talking with some gentlemen the other day at a business meeting, and they were talking about the one gentleman's mother, who's in her, I don't know, her late 40s or no, not even in her late 40s. She's in like her 50s or 60s. And, you know, the mother of the daughter, the young man's wife's mother, was actually at an event. And when they were at the event, a couple of his friends, which are much younger than the mother, actually saw the mother. And, you know, they made a beeline to try to find out who the mother was. But the compliment in this is that the reason that they made a beeline to who the mother was is because this lady had taken such good care of herself that they thought she was much younger than she was. This is an older lady that was very vibrant, very, you know, young looking, had a positive attitude, and that positive attitude and that positive mindset it showed itself in her appearance. You know, makeup, getting your hair done, wearing expensive clothes, driving expensive cars, all of that will not give you health. It will not give you that vibrancy. It will not make people interested in you. It will make people interested in maybe your checkbook, or it'll make people laugh at you because you're dressed up like a clown. Why? Because you've got so much makeup on trying to hide things that are definitely there, you know, or that you're trying to cover, as in blemishes and, you know, poor skin and all of that stuff, which, of course, is from what? Some of it's heredity, yes. But a lot of it is from poor diet, lack of exercise, not taking care of yourself, not getting enough rest, you know, too much sun. All of these different things are the things that are affecting your life. And the interesting thing is that everybody wants to blame somebody else for their reasoning. Again, if you're 20 and you look 30, that's your fault. If you're 30 and you look 40, that's your fault. If you're 40 and you look 50 or 60 or 70, that's your fault. All right? You know, there's a guy that that I know, and he's always rubbing his gut. And he's really not much older than me, but he's always talking about, yeah, well, you know, I pay taxes on all of this. And the funny thing is that it's true. He does pay taxes on that. Every day that he doesn't do any exercise and every day that he makes an excuse as to why he can't walk up a flight of stairs or eat the proper foods or he eats the wrong thing or he sits in front of the television watching some other athlete that's worked out probably 4 hours a day to get to that level of physical superiority or strength and ability, you know, every day that he sits down and does absolutely nothing but talks about somebody else, he's right. He's paying taxes on it, and those taxes eventually are going to become due because he's not paying them. He owes taxes on them, and those taxes that he's going to have to pay are going to end up being his life. Him not spending, you know, some time with his children. Why is he not spending time with his children? Because he has written a check that he's not ready to pay. Instead of paying that check by going out and doing something. And it's as simple as walking around. But ladies and gentlemen, please, again, be it that you're a man or a woman, age is nothing but a number. Be it that you have an ailment or not, you don't lose as long as you give an effort. You don't lose as long as you don't quit. The day that you quit, the day that you stop trying to exercise and stop trying to get out there and do things is the day that you start to lose. Again, a dance class. Some exercise where you're getting out and you're moving around and your body requires motion. It is a body. It is a machine. It is a well-oiled, well-fined machine. However, your body has everything that it needs in it, but you need to give it the right fuel so that it can continue to create so that the nutrients and the minerals and all of those things that you need to get in you. We in the United States used to be the number one provider of grain, wheat, and other items to the rest of the world. I think we still are one of the number one exporters of food. Well, ladies and gentlemen, again, there was a book that came out, and it said Dead Doctors Don't Lie. And it talked about the fact that most of us may eat food, but that the foods that we eat don't have the same minerals and vitamins that they used to have in them. Why? Because of poor irrigation, poor crop rotation, things along that nature, things that have actually sucked the minerals out. Because a farmer that grows tomatoes, he grows tomatoes, and he grows tomatoes in that same plot on a regular basis. And even if he's done it for years and years and years, what's happened is that every time a tomato grows, it pulls those particular vitamins, supplements, and things out of the ground. Well, guess what? Unless you've got a bulldozer coming and it's turning the ground up, eventually all of those minerals that are in that ground for that particular plant or that particular plant is known to pull out of the ground will eventually be depleted because the ground isn't getting a chance to restore itself. It's not getting a chance to renew itself. So since it's not getting a chance to renew itself, then that means when you get that apple, that orange, or whatever, and it pulls out the vitamins it's supposed to pull out, once it's pulled all of them out, they're not there. So if they're not there, then that means when you eat that tomato, apple, orange, whatever it is, you're not getting those vitamins. You're not getting those minerals. Now, I'm not saying that that apple or that orange or that pear or that particular vegetable or fruit looks any different. It looks like it normally looks. But remember, a farmer gets paid by the bushel. He doesn't get paid by the amount of minerals that are in his product. He doesn't get paid by the amount of vitamins that are in his product. And we as people, we're visual. we're not going to take it, take a core sample and see how many minerals are in here, you know, how many parts per million of minerals or vitamins or nutrients are in this particular apple, orange, or what have you. We're just going to see it. It's pretty. It looks the right color. It looks like it's nice, and we take a bite, and it tastes good, and we're good. However, your body doesn't care about the taste. Your body cares about the things that it needs. When you eat food, what are you doing? Your body is making a chemical breakdown of those foods, and then it's grabbing the nutrients and everything that it needs. So if you're not getting those, it's going to affect you. Think about all of the diseases that we presently have in the world, and think about all of the diseases that have seemed to have just multiplied. They've seemed to have just grown over time to where now there's diseases that you didn't even know existed that seem to be out there, and people keep suffering from these particular diseases. Why is that? Why is that? The reason is because we're not getting the nutrients that we want. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, we have a person on. We're going to see if they would like to share anything with us on the subject that we're talking about. Hello, how are you? And this is the Zurian Show. Did you have a question?
Oh, yeah, hi. Good morning. I was
good morning.
Just thinking, I think age is... in fact, I was reading an article or listening to a report that said 90 is the new 70. So much of what you said can be true, given the conditions that you stated it. And so I think that more people should engage in healthy activity, that is exercise and healthy eating. But I think that has to, I look at different cultural demographics. And eating healthily and exercising is a culturally relative activity or consciousness, I should say. So
yes,
I would
sir.
Say this conversation, I'm sorry, what?
No, I said yes, sir. I agree.
Yeah, I would say this conversation, it's a good thing to initialize it or initiate it on the radio, but I noticed that so many people don't carry it into their everyday lives and conversations. And that's where the change needs to take place. I often, you know, because everything is about relationships, everything is about relationships, either the lack thereof or the flourishing health of a good relationship. So I say that as a basis for good interaction between men and women, start having walking dates. Now, I know many women are against that. The men would go along with it if the women were to initiate it, but that would certainly be a great thing. Have a walking date. I don't know if you've ever heard it said that walking is the exercise of genius, and there needs to be a lot more geniuses out there. So I think that's an excellent platform for getting to know a person, is walking with a person. You know, walk
yes.
with me. Come
yes,
walk.
Yes, sir. That is outstanding. I like that idea, and you're right. But most of us, again, we have a sedentary lifestyle. We want to sit in front of the television, watch some sports person do it, and scream, go Cowboys or go Redskins, not bashing any particular sport. But we won't get off the couch. We won't take that initiative. Plus that we don't go out and look for things. We're too busy staring at the news or reading some book that gives us absolutely no value whatsoever. You know, and unfortunately, that's the way it is, you know, and you're right. A lot of it is our associations. A lot of it is the fact that we don't communicate with each other, and the communication that we actually do is so lacking. So I totally agree with you, but I like that. Walking is the exercise of genius. You're absolutely right. You don't have to be a martial artist or a fitness guru. It's something simple. I actually met a lady the other day at a BNI meeting, and this lady's 60 years old, and she now works for the National Fitness Association, and she's a group exercise instructor. But this lady's 60 years old, and she's in, you know, she's out there doing group exercise with ages from 34 to, I think she said her oldest participant is 84. That's phenomenal. Plus that you're adding time to your life and you're adding to your quality of life. And that's the whole thing, and people just don't get it. You know, I also have a martial arts school. Sir, I get kids that are, you know, 11, 12, 13. They can't do a push-up.
that are fat. Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
I'm giving the answer. The answer, you know, and the answer is usually right there with us. You've heard the old adage, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. Well, the teacher was always there. The student just wasn't conscious. That is the answer. The answer is, see, we are each other. When you really understand self, you understand that you are the other person, and the other person is you. Why? You're in the image of each other. You're in the image of God. You're created in the image of God. And as far as theologians have been able to decipher, image of God being a non-corporal entity is God is rational, personal, and moral. Rational, personal, and moral. Now, there may be other characteristics to the infinite being, but that's a good start. And so all we need to do, see, we talk a thing to death. I put it on the drawing board, and then I put the car on the damn racetrack to test its parameters to see if it will do what it's supposed to do. The body is a marvelous creation. It renews itself if you give it the proper nutrients. And even though what you say is true, the soil is often nutrient depleted, some soils. But, you know, the enzymes in food, for example, those can be recaptured. I think enzymes from papayas and pineapple stems, interestingly enough. But the points you make are good. But the advantage of being human is that we're very flexible. With these huge brains that we have, we can virtually overcome any obstacle placed in front of us. So what I suggest we do, and I love this kind of talk because I think, again, having conversation, good conversation, is the essence of being human. Creating this environment to where we live healthy lifestyles and encouraging each other, there are two gifts of the spirit. One is encouraging and edifying, or informing and motivating. And obviously there's an intersection between those two, or what I mean, overlap. And so that's just what we need to do. I know if I point out from the ethnicities and I look at different ethnic groups, many of them are more successful because they do. You know the Nike slogan, just do it.
Yes, sir.
That's it.
I agree.
It's no more complicated than that. Just do it. And you don't have to start off doing the whole thing. Just, you can start off, you know, they say a journey of 1,000 miles begins with the first step. So that's what, let's just start doing it. I tell men and women to date, there's nothing more fundamental than relationships, by the way. We do a lot of useless things. Most of our efforts are useless. Okay,
yes, sir.
They're absolutely useless. And so God was the first matchmaker. So I say, men and women, if men and women work together, they can overcome all of these obstacles, all of them, relatively easily. So I recommend for getting to know each other, walking in the park, that's healthy. With a bottle of water, that's healthy. That's transparent. No games. You know, you have the serenity of a park. I mean, just everything is in place. Water is no calories, but very, very essential to life. You're walking, that's exercise. It's beautiful in its essence. How many of us will do it? Because we've been sold the damnable lie. Most of us live. And so what we need to do is use that damn defibrillator, as it were, which is the truth, to shock ourselves out of this foolishness. That's what I suggest. What do you think about that?
I totally agree with you. But, the problem is getting people to not see, you know, getting them to step out of their box, getting them to change their conditioning, getting them to get on another program. And that's just it. I mean,
That's the solution. Ask them to do it. If you ask enough people to do, Will most do it? No, because of what you just said. Excuse me for interrupting you. But the thing of it is ask them to do it. I don't accept no for an answer.
I don't either. But
no,
you know,
is not an answer. I've gone to people and I've said, I need this done. And, well, this is not often, but they say, well, we can't do that. And I have to take them to the side and say, you know, no is unacceptable. You've got to find a way to do what I'm asking you to do. This has got to be done. Now, how can we go about doing it? So the point is, and that's obviously in a business context, but the same thing can be transmuted to one's personal and social life. So you ask enough people, let's go for a walk. You just said it's going to save a person's life. You just made excellent points. So
yes,
it's imperative that action be taken. So you ask enough people to do the right thing, and it'll catch on with some. I call it creating a social inertia.
Yes, sir.
You understand? Yeah, yeah. So that's the thing that has to be done. And just as more people do it, it will create what's known as critical mass.
Mm-hmm. What was your name, sir? I never got that. I apologize. I didn't ask you at the beginning.
Oh, no problem. Mr. Solution.
Mr. Solution. I like that, Mr. Solution. You have a show?
No.
Okay.
All the shows are my shows.
Hoorah. Hoorah. I'm also
what I advise, and I'm just going to ask you this, and I know you will receive it correctly. You know, for hosts who are going to have a monologue, it would be great if they would take the number down and say, you know, either it's going to be a monologue or I'm going to be accepting calls at such and such time. That would be so courteous to the listeners who want tribute, if you get my drift.
Yeah, I get your drift.
Excellent. But that's the answer. Tell people, and I always talk about coming out of cyberspace and talking to people. See, we are afraid of each other. Let's go ahead and admit that. We are fearful of each other. All of us.
I agree. Well, Mr. Solution.
Okay, let's acknowledge that. Let's get that out on the table. So now we know that we're fearful of each other. Now let's deal with it.
Yes, sir.
Let's ask each other out to the track. I think a great date, I try to, you know, really carve out niches where people can actually communicate better. Dating on the track, have a workout date. And this gets women many times, and some men, but mainly women, it gets them out of this attitude of showiness, superficiality. Because when you're walking out there on that track, that's your legs moving. That's your body pumping. You follow me?
Yes, sir. Excuse me for a second, Mr. Solution. Ladies and gentlemen, this particular show is about to end. Mr. Solution, please don't hang up because we'll go ahead and continue this because the show will keep recording. But as far as the live listeners, we're actually about to lose you into our 30 minutes. But anyway, before I go, thank you for listening, and Mr. Solution, and if you want to hear what else Mr. Solution has to say, please just dial back into the show after we're done, and you'll hear the rest of this particular dialogue. All right, sir, go ahead.
Well, no, the beauty of it is doing it. I say that although I love, you know, the conversation is absolutely impeccable. It's wonderful.
Yes,
okay, but let's do it. We can walk and talk.
Yes, sir.
I can jog and talk. So let's do that. Let's just start doing it. Black people, I'm going to say this emphatically, are the biggest talkers. They're chatterboxes.
Yes, sir.
But they don't do anything. They don't accomplish a damn thing. And that's horrible because the consequences of that are going to be you're not going to leave a legacy to your children. You're not building relationships that will help you build assets. And I use as my exhibit one, blacks don't have any well-stocked grocery stores. Now, I know there's one or two exceptions back on the East Coast, but on the aggregate, that supplies less than 10% of the needs of blacks. Blacks basically have to beg and be dependent upon other people. It's a parasitic relationship, not a symbiotic relationship. And it's so shameful because blacks have the most money in the U.S., the most money and the most education, but they are the least productive with respect for producing things for themselves. And I say the reason for that has to be their poor communication with each other. I mean, you have blacks, and I've done studies to verify this, you have blacks in every successful business there is, every one. But they don't own a damn thing because they don't talk ownership. And other people look at you. They do. They see you. They see what's going on. I like what Dr. Mm-hmm. Claude Anderson says. You've been arbitrarily assigned to a skin color team. And other people aren't going to play with you because they know you're not on their team. And not only they know you're not on their team, they know that you are a weak player, and they won't draft you. Many businesses won't do business with blacks because, I mean, the few, you know, black businesses that there are, because they look at you as a group, and if you're unproductive and impotent as a group, other people don't value you. And, in fact, I've said black women don't value black men because they're supported by the government. They're supported on the low end by welfare, and they're supported on the other low end by being given a pittance of a job. But they have no businesses. You can't pass a job on to your legacy. You follow me?
Yes, sir, I totally do. Matter of fact, I operate a couple of different things, and I've run into those particular problems on several occasions. Matter of fact, when I'm not doing the radio show, I run several multi-million-dollar operations, and I totally understand what you're saying. And like you said, it's part of the communications. It's part of the conversation. It's part of the mindset. I mean, you've got people that are, you know, I talk to some ladies, and I'm like, you're more worried about your nails and your hair than your fitness. You weigh 280 pounds, but you're worried about getting your hair done? Come on.
You know? That's right.
But it's as
hard.
A whole. Yeah, it drives me crazy. And as far as walking the talk, sir, I exercise about four times a week, all right? And I'm talking not for 20 minutes or 30 minutes. And I do walk, and I teach martial arts. I teach karate. I teach rape aggression defense. You know,
good.
I even volunteer. But the thing is that it's just so hard to do, to get people to do. I tell people all the time,
noticed,
be, do, have.
I agree with you, but see yourself as creating critical mass, and which I'm sure you do, but nevertheless, I'm speaking to what you just said. Ask people to participate. Now, you do, obviously, you see a great deal of success. People are supporting you in the martial arts, and obviously you have to have your body in shape to perform those functions, those movements, and so on and so forth. But see, we've got to talk about this more. The black communication, let me give you another quote. I'm going to quote Brother Sabira, George Sabira. He wrote a book called Black Folks' Guide to Making Big Money in America. And he says the saddest thing is a black person won't know. That is a particular thing of importance. And
yes,
even sadder still, they don't know anyone who knows.
Yes, sir.
You get that?
I have a question for you.
Pretty
because
profound,
we're,
though, when one contemplates it. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. I have a question for you. Since I'm talking to you, do you mind, because we're actually well over what we were doing originally, and now we're stepping into some of the same area, but we're stepping into other areas. Do you have a problem if I call you off the show?
I can shoot you an email. I see your website here, and
okay.
You mean to communicate, open communication, and
just to finish up, not the show, but to finish up what we were talking about, because maybe I can have you on and we can talk about another subject, and we can cover some of those areas you're talking about, the business, the mindset. The temperament of people, you know, the fact that there's a lot of, like you said, there's a lot of Spanish markets, there's a lot of Indian markets, you know, but there are no markets that cater to African Americans and things of that nature. So there's several subjects that we could talk on, but we could actually pick a subject, and then we could have a show, and you can be the guest. And then we could have people that can call in and talk to you.
Sure. I'll shoot you a bio. Your email address is on your webpage, correct?
I believe it is.
Shoot you an email. And so, but see, what happens is, understand, what we don't understand many times, and I see this, it's a problem and a fallacy of logic. We don't understand how things are connected. The fingers make no sense without the hand. The hand
Correct.
Makes no sense without the arm. So we don't understand how things are connected and relevant to each other. So that's one of the reasons that we have myopia, mental myopia, as it were. See, we can't see our vision. We have a terrible astigmatism, mental astigmatism, that is. And so we don't understand, and we block understanding. It's just like I said to you a moment ago. The best relationship is a symbiotic relationship. That's where both parties mutually benefit each other, as opposed to a parasitic relationship, which is one feeding off of the other, which is unhealthy, by the way. And that's what we tend to generate, and no one steps in to really give us any knowledge. And very few of us study anything, because everything we're talking about now is well documented.
Yes, sir.
Right? Yeah, it's well documented. And most books, when I read books, when I'm reading one book and then I read another book, even if it's on another subject, I'll see an overlap.
Yep.
And, okay, so all I'm just saying here is we live in an integrated reality, and it's important for us to understand at least the important things in terms of that integration. So health, finance, and relationships are indispensable to a healthy existence, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, health, finance, and relationships. Those should areas that blacks should focus on.
And like what you just said, if you read a lot of books, a lot of those books, if you read books on health, finance, and fitness and things of that nature, even if you read those books, a lot of the information overlaps. You can see you can see how it builds. But people don't see it because they don't read those books. They read vampire
stories.
Well,
and it's not
stories.
Just reading now. The other thing is, better than reading, and I do love to read, as they say, reading is fundamental, but also listening.
Yes, sir.
You know, it's easier for me to listen to an author tell me what's in their book. I mean, and all books are research. I mean, they're research efforts. But the thing of it is, we don't listen well either. Sometimes if some of us would just shut up and listen, we could learn a lot. But those are just some things. But what we're going to have to do, they're going to have to be the foot soldiers, because I'm hopeful, and at the same time I'm dismayed. Because I see blacks being reduced to an inferior position. I see them being tremendously marginalized. But they're going along with it. They are agreeing to be marginalized. One of the areas when I read, you know, and people, like I say, all of this is well documented. One of the areas, there are two studies. It's called The State of Black America, I believe it is. You can, I start page it. Start page, say they don't track you like Google does. But at any rate, and I know there's what's called The State of Black LA. And this is a joint effort by the Urban League and the United Way. And they bring in a whole cadre of professionals to study the various these, and I'm sure you already know this too, but they study the indices that promote the health of a particular community. And when they did these indices, now I know a lot of blacks will say, well, you can't trust anybody's statistics. Well, hell, where are yours? Why don't you have a think tank that is unbiased toward, you know, your particular position? The thing of it is, you don't have one, and yet you don't want to hear what anyone else has to say about you. And that just makes you ignorant, without information at all. So the thing of it is, in every industry, you know, drug addiction, high school dropout, divorce, incarceration, every industry, unfortunately, blacks are overrepresented. And I think the one reason we're overrepresented is because of the lack of this, which we're doing right now, both in front of young people and also to encourage ourselves. But we don't promote the healthy relationships between the men and the women. Women pretty much dominate things right now, and men just kind of kiss up and follow. Mm-hmm. And that's unfortunate. But what I just mentioned to you, relationships, finances, and health, and those do overlap. If you read any book on health, it's going to talk about relationships, and it's going to talk about finances, because you can't have health without, number one, relationship. You've got to have a doctor, maybe someone else who cares about you. You've got to have appropriate finances to purchase the foods that we're talking about. And organic foods are a little bit more expensive than the other, you know.
Yes, sir.
And but nevertheless, to purchase top quality food in any respect, you've got to have some money to do that. Food is expensive, right?
You're right.
You got to have transportation, and these are basic things that we have forgotten. So we need to revisit these things. Now, I'll just tell you one other thing, and I'd love to hear your feedback. I say before you talk to a black person, you need to get two things clear. Number one, are all of their monthly bills current? That's number one. Number two, have they had a bowel movement in the last 24 hours? Why do I need to know that? Because if their bills aren't paid, they are distracted.
Mm-hmm.
If they haven't had a bowel movement, they're toxic.
Mm-hmm.
So you got a distracted, toxic person, and you're trying to make fine intellectual or mental points to them, not going to happen.
I agree. I totally agree. Yes, sir, because again, like I said, I talk with people every day, and when you try to share information with them, you know, I try to tell some people, I'm like, listen, the only reason I'm sharing this with you is because I wish someone had shared it with me. I said, but since nobody shared it with me, now I'm sharing it with you. And, you know, instead of them taking that information and using it to their benefit, they are immediately, well, who made you the guru? And I'm like, listen, I'm just sharing information. You know, it's just like, I do a lot of contract work. Well, contract work is usually it's a 4-year, 5-year, 6-year contract. Well, at the end of that time, you know, now your marketability, as you were saying before with business, needs to go up. You need to have been taking classes during that 4 years. You need to have been improving yourself and adding to your arsenal of weapons so that you can become, again, a more marketable person. And they just don't get it. So at the end of the 4 years or the 5 years or whatever, these people have taken not one class. They haven't completed one course. They haven't learned anything new. They have a sedentary lifestyle, not only physically but mentally. And besides going out to the club, you know, that's the other thing. You're talking about going out to the club, but you claim you ain't got no money. So if you don't have any money, why are you going out to the club? You claim that you have all these health problems. I got a lady right now. She's got all these health problems. And I'm like, well, you need to start eating right. You need to start doing this and this. And her doctor's telling her the same.